Good morning. How many is happy?
Amen.
How many is half happy? The elder's sitting and holding the book to see if I stay in it. Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness, the multitude of your mercies, how good you've been to us all. Now we come to the important time of this whole service, and that is the proclaiming of the word, the unsearchable riches of God's truth. Lord, touch hearts. I know there's a few of us, but you said, "Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." And Lord, I pray that you help me communicate with a spiritual vocabulary that will convey the thought of who we are in Christ Jesus. Bless your word now, and bless the ears of all who are here, that they may be anointed to hear as I am anointed to speak, and this service will not be in vain. We thank you for it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen and amen. Psalms chapter 8 for a scripture reading. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that thou put all things under his feet. And I might put here especially the devil. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Yeah. Now, what is man? In verse 4, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I want to change that and say, who are you that God would be mindful of you? Yeah. Who are you? You're one of his servants. You're one of his children. God is mindful. Now you think about it. He's mindful of you because he made you, and because he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul, and then at the appointed time, you received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and as a result of that, you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you have been reborn in your spirit, and you're headed in a different direction than you was before Jesus came into your heart and life. You're one that God is mindful of. Now, I know a lot of times we hear people, and it's all right, to repent of their sins. I think if they have sins, they need to be repented of. But I don't never like to stop when I'm repenting of my sin, shortcoming, and failure. I don't like to stop there, because that stops in a negative trough and in a negative ditch. And the next time we start to pray, we'll find ourselves repenting of the same thing or some other things over and over and over and over and over. It reminds me of a horse when they're training them. They got a thing, a little electric motor that goes around, and got a piece of metal out here, and they hook that horse on the end, start that motor, and that horse just goes around and around and around. Lots of motion, but never getting anywhere. And I know Christians. Been there myself. That's how I know that there's others. I'm normal, a little bit abnormal at times, but I'm mostly normal. And as a result, we understand how easy it is to fall into a pattern of prayer, a pattern of repentance. And that's good. But if that's all you ever do, you really don't know who you are. You can say, well, I've been saved. I've been baptized in water. And I'm a Christian. Are you living a victorious life? Well, sometimes, most of the time, part of the time, well, I don't know whether I am or not. That's the kind of answer you get. But if we're living a normal life, we're not repenting all the time. There are some other things that we need to confess. We confess our sins, and then we begin to confess some other things. Say, for example, when somebody asks you, or you ask yourself, or the thought comes to you, who am I? I am one whom God is mindful of. He thinks on me from time to time. I am one that is blessed of God. How many of you are blessed of God? See, how many times have you told Him, Lord, I thank You for the blessings. I thank You for the blessings. That's a confession of your faith. That's an acknowledgement of praise and gratitude to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Goes right straight through. The Bible says He inhabiteth, continues to inhabit the praise of His people. If you don't give Him praise, you're missing out. He inhabits the praise of His people. God made the heavens and the earth. He created by the spoken word. He spoke the moon and the stars and the sun and the universe into existence. It was dark at first, and He said, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit took the words that He spoke and created the lights. This moon and the stars and the sun created all of those at God's word. And then He said, He divided the land and let the waters and the seas be named one thing and the land another. And then He said to the water, bring forth from the sea all the fowls of the air that fly above the earth. He created the beasts of the field to eat the vegetation. That was their diet. The beasts that kill and eat other beasts for their livelihood, for their life. But then when He stopped, on the fifth day He done all of this. On the sixth day He said, let us make man. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but I have envisioned in my mind, and it gets kind of wild, so if it's too wild for you, well, just forget it. I see God bending down and kneeling on the earth, on the ground that He had spoke into existence, pushing some clay together, or a mixture of clay and good dirt and enough clay to make it stick together, and He formed a man. And it says He formed and made him in His own image and in His own likeness. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I don't believe God stood away off and just blowed. Now, you can believe that if you want to. It's fine with me. You can't prove I'm wrong. No, I wouldn't try to prove you're wrong. I believe He bowed down again and knelt down by the side of this dummy. And He breathed into him the breath of life. And his heart started to beat. Blood that God had created in the vascular system of his body. And in his lungs he began to breathe. And he breathed And he became a living soul like you and me. Now, he and me had a little different shape, a little different form in the sense. But basically, this is what God does. When we're born, he breathes into our nostrils the breath of life. And little children that have been hid 9 months in their mother's tummy comes forth, and they are living souls. I think they're alive from day one. It's my personal feeling, because it takes God. See, woman and man come together, but it's God that puts the third part of that baby together that makes those two pieces of flesh begin to move. And in so many days, there's a heartbeat discernible. In so many days, you see hands and feet forming and little fingers. It's a marvelous thing to me how God made us and how he makes us today. We are one that God is mindful of. In Isaiah 40, I think it says that he has engraved our names in the palms of his hand. I read another translation that said he has tattooed our name in the palms of his hand. And when I read that, it just sounded so much better. You know, a tattoo is sort of a permanent thing. And you can use an eraser, and you can use all kinds of, after it's healed, you can use all kinds of detergents and all kinds of everything, but it will not wash that tattoo away. It's there to stay. And God is mindful of us every day. I'm one that is blessed of God. It was a blessing when he came into my life and relieved me of my sin. And I bless God for that, and I thank God for that. I am not only blessed and one that's mindful of God, I have been anointed for good, anointed man or servant of God to proclaim his word and to be witnesses unto him. And one thing that I am, I might not look like it, but I am a master over the demonical forces of the earth that hang around and torment our lives. Jesus said, I give you power and authority. The word authority means the delegated influence of a sovereign to govern, to legislate, and to control. That sounds pretty good. Power means that he gives us the applied force to execute. And the Holy Ghost with us will execute his word. And I'm glad that I learned that a long time ago. I am anointed to proclaim the word of God. I am anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power from God. God gives us this power. He anoints us with this power. Not just to make goosebumps run up and down our spine. Not just to make us feel good. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost when he was getting ready to leave, that you may be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of my resurrection. And if you look at the book of Acts and go slowly and pour through that, you'll find every message that was preached by Peter and the other apostles was a message of resurrection. They emphasized his being raised from the dead. That's the capstone. Anybody could have been put on a cross. Anybody could have been beaten. Anybody could have died on the cross. Anybody could have went into hell. But Jesus did all of that and walked over to the devil and jerked the keys of death and hell out of his hand and ascended on high. The Bible says in Psalms, he ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, yea, even the rebellious also. Yeah. I've got a man that's a rebel in the community, this community, our community, and others. I've been praying, God, just get him by the throat and just save him. Yeah. You say, that's kind of funny. No, it isn't. I know my sister was praying for me, and I tried awful hard to cuss. And I'd speak part of a cuss word out, and it'd just choke up right in my throat. I couldn't say it. I'd have to stop. And I'd back off and start again. And I've tried to say words two and three times, and I'd just choke up, and I'd finally just get off onto another subject. But when Jesus saved me, he swabbed me just like a 12-gauge shotgun. Just whoop. And all that old filthy language left my mind and my heart and my spirit, and I have a brand new language. I speak a brand new tongue every day because God has saved me, and he has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he gave me authority over the devil. This is the plus factor in every Christian's life that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the plus factor. That helps us in time of need. He is a present help, the scripture says in Psalm, in a time of need. He's just a present help when you don't need him. When you're not conscious of your need of him, he is a helper. He's one to help you in whatever you do. He make you better. I remember I prayed for the doctor that operated on my neck, 5 vertebrae. That was the last thing he said, is there anything I can do for you? I said, yes, I believe in what I preach. I want to pray for your hands. And he just stuck them out like that, and I prayed for him. And a few days later, he sat down on my bed and gave me a compliment because I was a person with faith. And it was nice to have patience with faith. Says they always do better. A few days later, I was in his office, and he said, hey, I like that tie. It's a little brighter than this one. And he said, are you still praying for me? I said, I sure am. I wouldn't dare give up now. He said, keep it up. I need it. I appreciate it. And see, God gives us the plus factor, the boldness to reach out and do silly things like that. Wasn't silly. I really wanted the Lord to just place his hands on that doctor's hands, on that surgeon's hand. He'd been trained for years to do this job. But you know, I believe he'd done a better job than usual simply because the hand of the Lord was on that whole team. Same way with Brother Wampler. Well, I prayed because he went in here on me and then back here on me. And he just got it on the front side. But you know, God helps all of us, and God answers our prayers. He doesn't always answer them the way we want him to, but he answers our petitions. We have been anointed with power. We've been anointed with a potential devil master. We may not have begun to take all that authority that is given to us, but it's there for us. I give you power and authority over all devils, cure all diseases. And then another place said, whatsoever you bind on earth that is bound in heaven, it shall be bound. I believe the devil is bound in heaven. I believe in heaven legally he is bound. And I believe we have that authority and that privilege in our lives acknowledge the fact that, devil, I'm not afraid of you. You are subservient to me because of Jesus Christ. I am in Jesus Christ. You may try to run roughshod over me, but Jesus is in me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's in the book. You have to acknowledge that. That's truth. Your master may twist it, but that's the truth. And when you do that, you get your backbone just gets stronger. And you have, because you have confessed who you are, must always keep in mind that we are servants of God. We're not just some urchins that's dropped out here on earth to just kind of mosey around, but we have purpose. God has given us purpose. And Jesus said in John 20, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And in 1 John 3 said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Another place said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Same things I do shall ye do also, and greater things, because I go unto the Father. Now this is what he said to the church, to the believer, 120. But you know, they went out and turned the world upside down. The first sermon brought 5,000 people into the kingdom. What a baptismal service they had. What a glorious reaping of a harvest. But Jesus had been three and a half years, sowing seed, sowing the word, investing in people, investing in their spirits, investing in their hearts, showing them the healing that was available to them, showing them the freedom of worship that was within them, that he had cut loose all bondage and all restrictions and all restraint, and gave them power to give him praise. And if you go through a day without giving God sincere praise from your heart till you're touched deep in your spirit, you're missing something. You're missing something. Something that is beyond words of explanation. But we must always keep this in our mind. Who are you? I am one that has been touched by eternity and with eternity. I have become an eternal being in fellowship with God, in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Do you live perfect? I strive to, but I stumble every once in a while. But you know, God don't give up on us no more than Dad gave up on me when I was learning to walk. I'd fall and he'd pick me up. I'd fall and he'd pick me up. I'd fall and I'd hit my head on something, and he or mother would pick me up, or my sister would pick me up, and they just kept picking me up every time I fell. And you know, I got to where I could walk. But if this surgery, I had to learn to do it again. I'm still learning. Haven't got it completely down, but I'm 18 months better than I was when they did this. And I thank God for it. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus has redeemed me. He has repurchased me from the devil by his own blood and by his own works, in order to redeem me from the curse of the law. I've been plugged in and connected to eternity. Everything we do has eternal significance. Every place we go, every person we come in contact with. Somebody, Dr. Schuller last night said somebody had a saying, a thing that they did every day, and was a prayer, let me do something for somebody every day. Start out in the morning. Let me do something for somebody. A lot of people get up in the morning and they start looking for somebody to do something good for them. Hello.
Yeah.
Probably not you folks, or you wouldn't even been here this morning, but you know some folks like that, I know. And God has given us so much, and as freely as we have received, he wants us to joyfully and freely give to others. It's a joy to know that I'm connected into eternity, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. I look about the same, only I'm a lot older. I don't show my age near as much as some folks I know. But I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming or become new. I think they are becoming as we walk with the Lord on a daily basis. He gives us something fresh from the Word. I was reading last week in Isaiah where in this translation where he tattoos our names on the palms of his hands. Said, can a mother forget her nursing baby? Said, I will not forget you. I have you engraved in King James. And this other translation said, tattooed in the palms of my hands. Every time God looks at the inside of his hands, our names are there. You say, well, how can he write all these names down? He's God. He's God. And he does all kinds of good things for us. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how I received Christ, was the power of God, the transforming power of God. I had heard the scriptures in Romans where it says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that he's the Son of God, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then on a little further says, whosoever, that's me, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not saved, but I wasn't saved because I was good. I was saved because I needed salvation. And there's lots of needy folks. There's a scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We ought to carry that in our heart and go around giving folks medicine all the time. Every day. You know, I can feel bad in the morning, get up and go out to the hospital and see folks a lot worse than me, and I get plumb cheered up. And I get kind of giddish and kind of silly. I'm so happy that God knows what we need and he provides for us. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new or are becoming new. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I like this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because Christ is in me and surrounding me, I become the righteousness of God, the kind of righteousness that can walk into the throne room of God in prayer and not be thrown out and not be rejected, but God, with all the people in the world that he listens to, he takes personal time to listen to yours and my prayer. We have access. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father save by me. I am the door of the sheepfold. No man can enter except I open to him. Somebody says, what about those folks that don't know that? Well, we just have to keep working and talking to them when we get an occasion and every opportunity. Even if they reject what we say, somebody else come along, say the same thing, and they'll reject that. And three or four or five times over a period of time, a short time or a long time, suddenly something will happen to an individual. Carmen was telling me about 15, 20 years ago, her son had surgery, and the doctor was just so, he just knew who he was, and he didn't need any help. And his dad said, well, we'll be praying for you while you're doing your surgery. And it was just almost insulting to him of such high intelligence and skill. But when their son went back for further treatment, something had happened to him. And they never did find out exactly what, except he thought he was going to have a stroke, or he thought he was going to have something that wasn't just exactly right. And he humbled himself real quick. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar knew what humility was. Went from a king to a donkey. Pastored some of those folks. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He is my righteousness. That gives me access to the holiest of holies. God, when Jesus died, He ripped the veil that was in the temple that separated the holiest of holies from the holy place and gave all people access without the going through the priest. You don't have to call the priest. You don't have to get somebody to intercede for you. Drop on your knees and begin to pray in the Spirit and you'll get right on through. The barriers will bow out and back off and you'll come up against one that's hard and your head and your prayers is harder than that. You just keep hammering away and it's like a hammer that's just pecking at the same spot. Even a little hammer, it'll break a big rock to pieces. God knows how to give us the applied force, the power, when we need it. He knows exactly where we are. Righteousness of God in Christ. I am now in right standing with God. You know, that gives peace to my heart to know that I'm in right standing with God. You say, have you sinned lately? Probably. But I repented, and then I get back on the positive side of confession. A lot of folks is afraid of this message of confession. I've preached 3 months on Wednesday night prior on confession, the confession of our faith. And every time it was substantiated by Scripture, there's lots in the Bible concerning positive confession. And I am now in right standing with God. I am hooked up again with eternity. Don't want you to forget that. Want you to remember that we are hooked up with eternity. We're not just beings. We're not just creatures. But we're children of the Most High God. And He is with us, and we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And we are the righteous witness in this world, in your world where you are. You are the righteous witness of God, telling them of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and things that He has done in your heart, your life, your family, your friends, somebody you know. Give testimony to others. And do it with boldness. Do it with ease. Don't look down. I was at a meeting not long back, and an official had the privilege of introducing a renowned guest to be the speaker. And he went up and he looked up one time and he looked down and said, "Miss So and So is such and such and so, and she has been asked to come and speak for us," and then he looked over top of his glasses and right back, and he muttered through his whiskers that he didn't even have for about 3 minutes trying to introduce somebody. It'd have been far better for him to just reared back and said, "I don't know all her pedigree, but she is a nice lady. She is the governor's wife, and we're delighted to have the first lady." But he read everything, all her achievements and accomplishments. And that's fine if he'd have read it. But he wasn't even a good reader. I didn't think. I'm judging that. That's Bill talking. Bill the man. Yes, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Right standing, hooked into eternity with Christ, the Son of God. Let me tell you something else. We have been created with dignity. If you just got on a pair of clean overalls, that don't hurt anything. You can still walk upright and straight and have a good clean countenance. I think of David, how he went from the sheep coat. Now, some people think that's just from herding sheep, but no, that's where sheep stay at night. And it gets awful slick and dirty in the sheep coat. And God took him from that place and put him in the kingdom at the right hand of Jonathan and Saul. And did you ever think about David going up after he'd slew Goliath, and Saul said, "Go on to the palace, and I'll be up there. Jonathan, go with him. Can you imagine Jonathan arrayed in such brilliant clothing and good robes and the very best shoes that was available? See, the king and his family had the best of everything. Here old David, all he had was a slingshot that he'd carried with him. He didn't have his rod nor his staff with him. He left that. He wouldn't need that. They was going to give him a sword. Got there, and Jonathan said, "You don't look like you belong here, but I know you do." Says, "Let's go to my wardrobe." And I imagine David took a bath, took a shower, and got all the sheep smell off of him, washed his hair, curly hair, real good. They had it trimmed a little bit by Jonathan's barber. And Jonathan kept putting on him kingly arrayment. He said, "You're looking better. You're looking better. Try these shoes on." And he did. And he said, "All you need is a sword." He just took his sword off and hung it on David and said, here is my shield. Says, "You take my sword and shield." You know what that really represented? There is a lot more in that than just what appears to be. Jonathan said, "I have no weapon. I am at your mercy. Like a dogs, you know, every once in a while they'll run up and there's a bigger dog. They understand pecking order better than people do. They just roll over and turn their jugular veins up to those dogs. And you know that they hardly ever get killed. Because that's the way they show humility. And David, he just wasn't dressed for the kingdom. But Jonathan dressed him up and disarmed himself before David and gave him his sword and shield. He said, "I'll get me another one." Said, you look like you belong now. See, we belong in the presence of the Lord. If you're uncomfortable when the Holy Ghost begins to move in a congregation and you get uncomfortable and you get antsy and you begin to squirm around, you just need to pray through. That's just all there is to it. You need to confess.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you need to acknowledge it to where you can be comfortable and even welcome and even do things to draw the presence of God down by offering a sacrifice of prayer. "Well, I don't feel like praising." Well, there's a lot of times you've got up of a morning and you didn't feel like going to work, but you knew you wouldn't get checked, you didn't go to work, and if you missed many times, you wouldn't have a job. So you just got a hold of the back of your neck and say, "Get in there, boy, and get with it." But when it comes to church, well, you know the Lord understands. I think I'm going to have a headache this morning. Well, yes, I don't want to meddle long. We have been created with dignity, and we should carry ourselves not as quarry slaves. I knew a fella that was 2 years old, 3 years older than me, and he was an old man before me and my first wife married. He was an old man. He walked like an old man. He talked like an old man. And somebody said something about Father Divine pouring 20-some cups of coffee out of one little 6-cup container. He just kept pouring coffee. "Oh," he said, "the devil's got lots of power." Walking over. He's got lots of power. Wasn't even 30 years old. I said, "Yeah, but Jesus has given us more power than the devil. He's given us power over all the power of the devil." And he looked at me like I'd fell out of a tree and injured my head. And he just turned and just kept on, you know. You don't change some people. He still walks the same way, and he's about 70-some now. But we are to walk with some dignity about us. And that comes by feeling good about yourself on the inside. You know God's cleansed you of your naughtiness and your sin. Now, he hadn't cleansed me totally of all my fun. I probably would not have stayed saved if he said you can't have some fun. And God knows that we need to maintain a sense of humor so that we can be successful in the things that we do. I'm saved by and identified with Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary, which means his death and his burial and his resurrection. See, it would have all been in vain had Jesus not come forth from the grave. But he did. He did come out of the grave. He is alive. He showed himself to men for 40 days and 40 nights, gave them infallible proof for 50 days. And proof of his resurrection. You remember once after his resurrection, he cooked up a bait of fish and had bread and fish on fire. Boy, I bet that was good eating. Bet that was good eating. He didn't get a bunch of shad that had bones all in them. He'd have to pick. He had the choice of fish fixed just right. How did he fix them? I don't know, but they was good, I can guarantee you, because he never fixed anything that wasn't good. And I'm one that don't like fish, but I would have liked that fish dinner. I know I would have, because Jesus fixed it, made it good for everybody. And we must believe constantly in the finished work of Calvary. It is finished. He's completed his work, completed his job. And as a result of that, who are you this morning? You are a person that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You're a person that God thinks on often. He thinks of you often. You, how many of you breathe in here this morning? You breathing, sister? I just want to be for sure everybody was breathing. You know what the Bible says? In Psalms 50, it said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." There's another scripture that says, "The dead praise not the Lord." So if you're dead, you don't have to do it. But if you're breathing, I want you to stand to your feet with me. And I want us to give God praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yorobakusatanda lavakurieto pashoholomonora. Lelebakuribiki sanda levelitana monora bashe. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word that is eternal, does not change. It's just like you. You watch over your word to perform it in our lives. We know that your supreme will prevail finally in all things, and we thank you for that privilege of knowledge, for that amount of knowledge. Thank you for the privilege you've given us to know you in an experience of sins forgiven. We don't have to play like we're sin-free, but we are because of your blood. Because you walk with us, and there's a daily cleansing that goes on in our lives. Just like our blood system, there's a daily cleansing in our blood system that goes on in our lives. And we're grateful to you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for these that have faithfully come to the house of the Lord today. And I pray, God, that you touch them in a very supernatural way. That they, when they leave this room and they leave this sanctuary, that your word will be burning in their hearts. I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost will magnetize it to their hearts. And in spite of other difficulties that may come, Lord, may these words, some of these words, well up in them, and may they speak them out as a confession or an acknowledgement of what they believe and who they are. Help them to apply this message in a very practical sense in their hearts and lives on a daily basis. For in doing so, Lord, they'll be better. They'll be better. because of this. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Praise be to the Lamb of God. Praise be to the Lamb of God. Anybody here, do you need prayer? Special prayer? Sick?